Christ, who have come to faith in Christ, now become an example to other people. And that's what Paul does next. So if you look at verse 7, he says, you became an example. So other believers in Jesus heard about how they came to faith and the character that's developing in their hearts, and they want to emulate them. They want to follow their example, and they're like spurred on to faith and good works by looking at how great this Thessalonian church is doing. As Paul says, I don't need to tell anybody about how God worked in this church because they already know. They've already heard about it. Your faith has rung out. It rang out like a trumpet, you know, like a trombone in church. Like it rings out and fills the whole, you know, all of Greece, you know. Everybody hears about how well this church is doing. The other Christians hear, and they want to now follow your example. And they heard about how you turned from idols. And now they're like thinking about their own lives, and they're thinking, is there anything from my old life that I'm still hanging on to? Is there a sin that I need to confess to the Lord? Is there a way that I'm still walking in the old way? I want to turn, because these guys, they're turning wholeheartedly and following Jesus. They're serving the one true and living God. I want to do that too. And so they're spurred on to faith and good works. They're like, look at the way they're serving each other. Look at the way they're taking care of each other. Look at the way they're staying strong, even though they're facing persecutions and afflictions, you know. Look at the way they're holding on to their faith. Let's do that too in our church. They heard about how well that church is doing, and they're like, let's do that too, okay? So they become an example. And look at how they're looking forward to the second coming of Christ. It says, you know, God's, do you see that in verse 10? It says, they wait for his son from heaven, whom he rescued from the dead, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So God is a holy God. God is going to judge the world. God is going to judge people for their sins. He's holy. That's what the wrath of God is. It's God's judgment on sin. But those who have believed in Jesus will be saved, will be rescued in Christ. For, you know, Jesus has paid the penalty for this, our sins. He's died on the cross for our sins. And when God purifies the world, judges the world, punishes sins, those who have trusted in Jesus will be rescued, you know, pulled out of the flaming, burning house, you know, pulled out of the flood onto the solid rock. You know, we're going to be rescued. And they, this Thessalonian church, is looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back, and they know that Jesus is going to rescue him when he comes back. So the other believers talked about this church, and they're like, look how this church has changed. Look at the drastic change in their lives. Look at the way they're waiting for Jesus to come back. We want to be like them. We want to pursue holiness like they do. We want to handle our trials the way they do, with hope and with endurance. So Paul is thankful for the Thessalonians' example. He's thankful for the way that the word about their spiritual growth has spread to other people. It is so great to thank God for the way that he provides for us. It's so great to thank God for the turkey. It's great to thank God for friends and family. It's great to thank him for good health, for his provision, for steady jobs, for success at your job, success in your school, for the nice home that he's given you, that we have the freedom to meet out in the open like we do. You know, we have so many ways, so many things to give thanks to God, so many reasons to give thanks to God. It's wonderful to thank God for the relationships that he's given us, our friends, our family. We really should be grateful for these things. And these are gifts from God. We need to thank God for these things. But let's also follow Paul's example here and thank God for the spiritual work that he's doing in the hearts of our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially the other Christians in your local church in Calvary Chapel. As you look around this morning, God is working in the hearts of these people in this room, and you can thank God for what he's doing in the lives of these other people. How can we do that? Well, it takes noticing. You know, it takes being aware of what God is doing, first of all, right? You know, it takes paying attention. But in your time of prayer, picture some of the other believers in our church that you know and thank God for what he's doing in their lives. And here's some examples of things that you can say in your prayers. You can think of the people who were baptized this past summer, or people who recently made professions of faith in Christ. And you can thank God for their conversion. That's something you can give thanks to. Thank you, God, that this person who was baptized, who has come to faith and has taken the step of walking in obedience and being baptized and proclaiming their faith. Thank you, God, for their conversion. Or you can think of people in our church who serve other people in our church, and many of you serve quietly, people who are faithfully doing a ministry, people who are faithfully encouraging others, people who are giving to meet other people's practical needs. Their service to the others in this church is motivated by love. It's a labor of love. And when I say that, I mean they love God. God has given them love for the brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's why they're serving. That's why they're laboring for them and laboring for the Lord. And so we can thank God for the work that he's doing in their hearts to give them a love for the brothers and sisters so that they labor faithfully. Thank you, God, for Don Heon, who faithfully moves the levers on the soundboard on Sunday morning, that he loves the people of God and he's going to serve them. And Chelsea, you know, doing that on Sunday mornings. And there's so many others that faithfully serve in different ways. Thank you, God, for the love that you've given them, that spiritual work that you've done in their hearts so that they're serving you faithfully. That's something to give thanks for. For the person who is enduring hard times with hope in Christ, maybe they're sick, maybe they're caring for somebody who's sick, maybe they're facing criticism for their faith, you know, different kinds of hard times. You can thank God that they're holding on to their faith despite these afflictions. Think of somebody who's going through it, who's slogging through it right now, and they're holding on to their faith in Christ, looking forward to the day that he comes again. No matter what happens, I'm not going to let go of my faith in Christ. No matter what criticism I face at work, at my school, I'm going to hold on to my faith in Christ, and I'm going to live for him in spite of it all. I'm not going to let go. He's not going to let go of me. That's something to give thanks to God for, right? That hope, that endurance of hope, you know, endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something we can give thanks to God for. You can give thanks for those people whose Christian character has become an example to other people. And I hear you sometimes in the prayer time doing that, you know. Steve Wibberly's like the most quoted person in Canterbury, I think, you know. Remember what Steve always says? You know, his faith has become an example. And there are many others of you your faith has become an example to others. And you can thank God for those people whose Christian character has become an example to others. You can give thanks to God for the times that you see a change in somebody. You know, like somebody's facing criticism or a little bit of a conflict. And a few years ago, before they were so sanctified, they would have lashed out in anger in this situation. But this time, they responded with a lot of graciousness towards the other person, and you noticed it. That's something you can thank God for. Thank you, God, for the way that you're working in the hearts of this person so that her character is more like Jesus, and I can see it coming out in that interaction with somebody. Or, you know, I can see his faithfulness in this area of his life where before he was slacking off. I thank you, God, for that work that you're doing in his heart so that he's following the Lord more closely, and he looks more like Jesus than he did a few years ago. That's something you can give thanks to God for. You can give thanks to God for the way that people have turned away from sins in their past and they're pursuing holiness. and even for the way that sometimes they fall down, but they get up again and they keep pursuing holiness. You know, that's something you can thank God for. And you can think of many more ways that you can thank God for his spiritual work in the lives of the brothers and sisters. So thank God for what he's doing in the lives of other believers. And then follow Paul's example and tell them, I thank God for you. I thank God for what he's doing in your life because I see this. I see that you are more like Jesus today than you used to be. Maybe don't criticize like what they used to be, but you know what I'm saying. I see that when you did that, that reminded me of Jesus. And I thank God for what he's doing in your life. Something like that. Can you say that to somebody? I thank God for this way that you remind me of Jesus. I remember when I was in seminary, my very first semester of seminary, when I applied and was accepted to the seminary, they sent out a book to all the new incoming students by this man named Howard Hendricks. Okay, he was an older professor at the school, a little bit famous in Dallas. You know, he'd written a bunch of books and was kind of a well-known speaker. And his book was like really riveting about how to study the Bible. I loved reading the book. In my very first semester, I had him in class. Now, he didn't really know me. He probably recognized my face from being in his class. It was a huge class. At this point, he was elderly. He had been facing cancer or something. He had one eye. They'd taken out his eye. He was wearing a patch. He had all these jokes about how he was a pirate. And he told a whole bunch of other jokes that he had told in the 1970s, and he was recycling them in the year 2002, or whatever year it was. So, like, but I thought he was really cool. And one day we were walking out of the chapel service, and he just walks past me, and he sees me, and he's like, "Guys like you give me hope." He didn't know me at all. But he says, "Guys like you give me hope." You know, I'm still feeling good about that. You know? So, like, when you see God working in somebody's life, and thank God for what he's doing in their hearts, and then tell them. And let's have a culture in our church of thankfulness, but also telling each other how thankful we are for God's work in each other's lives, okay? Let's thank God for the work he's doing in the brothers and sisters, and let's tell them. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your love, and I want to thank you for Calvary.